The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. Matt LaFleur is at the podium, Tausch, on a Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
With the Monday week.
Why is that?
Monday Night Football, long flight back from Seattle.
Oh, took the day off yesterday. Okay.
At least from talking to us, he took the day off. So he's speaking now. These 11 o'clock starts between Badger women's basketball and Matt LaFleur messing us up a little bit. He was just talking about Quay Walker and said that Quay Walker's injury is week to week. Let me translate that for you. They're going to give him up until game day, but he ain't playing this week. Otherwise, they say day to day if they feel like there's a chance that he'll play.
And
how big of a loss is that?
I think there's a lot of Packer fans that are saying, all right, we want to get old Al 56 out there anyways now. We want more Coop.
Are they saying it in that twang?
I don't think they're saying that.
I think if you're from the South, yeah. There's a lot of Southern Packer fans.
There are.
Turns out there's a lot of Pacific Northwest fans, too.
Indeed.
So I think we want to see more Cooper. And whether or not that's going to be with Quay or when Quay comes back, if it's going to be him and Coop and McDuffie goes and doesn't play as much, but Edgerton Cooper deserves to play a ton more. Quay Walker, I think he is kind of, he's not A.J. Hawk, but I just feel like people love beating up on him. He's been playing better football. I can understand middle of the season, missing tackles, missing reads. He tackles guys, but it's 5-6 yards. It's like the middle linebacker is an extension of the defensive coordinator position. We're going to beat these guys up. Fire so-and-so. Fire A.J. Blake Martinez can't make any plays.
But it's okay because he's a fourth-round pick.
There might be validity, but Quay Walker, somebody we anticipated being a dog. And he's been a solid player. He hasn't been as good as I think everybody hoped. And looking at what we saw from Edgerton Cooper, that's the type of play we want to see. Hey, get a sack, have an interception, have a TFL, make plays, run and cover guys. That's what we're hoping for from that position. And Edgerton Cooper gave that to us, and he's going to get an opportunity Monday night to do that again, it sounds like, because it doesn't sound like Quay is going to be ready to get back out there.
So help us understand this. Put your analyst and former NFL player hat on for a moment, because I am curious if it matters that Edgerton Cooper is lining up as the Will linebacker, not as the Mike. And I always thought, going back to the olden days when you were starting at right tackle back in the day, and you guys were running the 4-3 until Dom arrived in 09, which was toward the end of your career, I always thought the Will was the playmaker guy, the guy who ran sideline to sideline, the guy that made the plays. The Mike felt like, and again, A.J. Hawk, you just mentioned him, guy who made a lot of tackles. You wanted him to make plays, but you know, a lot of times he's just the solid guy who doesn't make mistakes. Is the Will put in more positions to make plays, and is that a fair way to view Edgerton Cooper vis-a-vis Quay Walker, or is it not?
Well, depends what scheme you're in. I mean, if you're playing the Tampa defense, Derek Brooks was the guy.
True.
And
the Packers don't play
the Chicago Bears, it was Brian Urlacher and Briggs. They both would take turns.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as if it's, well, we're going to do this, we're going to funnel everything here. No, today's NFL is so much more spatial that you better be athletic enough. It isn't the old days, well, we're going to two-gap and we're going to leave it so that our middle linebacker can make a bunch of tackles.
I love
the
coach voice.
That's the 80s and the 90s, man. Now it's, get us out in space and let's see how good you can run, how quick you can read things and go make plays. It isn't the old days of, oh, let's get Mike Singletary 100 tackles. Let's get Ray Nitschke freed up so he can make plays. Those days are gone. So you have different roles and different skill sets that guys have. Edgerton Cooper, I think he's finally getting comfortable. He sees something, he goes. That's what you're looking for in your linebackers. Now, it can no longer be read, read, read. You know, I don't even know how many times you're seeing drills where it used to be touch the bag, touch the bag, touch the bag, read, 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 read. Now it's see it, go hit. See it, go. And if you can't do that on a consistent, Freddie Varner, does it care? Do you care where he's playing? Mike?
No, just that he's making plays. Yep.
Just go play. And that's where we're at with linebacker playing today's NFL.
So all right. So Freddie Varner, who everywhere except for this show is known as Fred Warner, and Dre Greenlaw, who has returned to the lineup for the 49ers, much to DeAndre Campbell's chagrin. By the way, good job, Kyle Shanahan, not releasing him. So if for some reason somebody wanted to sign him, he'd be available. Suspending him, right call, well done. So they are the creme de la creme, especially if Greenlaw is healthy, right? The Tampa one with Levante David and the other guy that's not there anymore that was really good for a while.
Devin White.
Yes. Devin White. The Jets, right? C.J. Mosley and Quincy Williams, they're pretty good. Other than that, are there any tandems that spring to mind? And do you have any belief, because there were some moments when Quay Walker started to look like he was becoming the player that they wanted him to be, and he wasn't missing tackles or running past the ball carrier inexplicably as the guy went by him. Can Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper become that? Because that's what they've been searching for a very long time.
That'd be awesome, but I'm not going to bank on that. I would say no. And hopefully I'll be proven wrong. I think Edgerrin Cooper has the big playmaking ability, and it, you know, whether or not you can continue to do that, if you get the green dot and you have to read things and mm-hmm. you have different responsibilities, you hope that that's the case. But no, it is really hard to play defense in this league. Really difficult. You have to understand what's happening. You have to be able to read things in a split second, and then you have to be able to get your body in a position where you're not going to get fined all the time. And you're going to be able to make plays in the passing game and read the run game. There's a lot there. I think Edgerrin Cooper has an opportunity to be a really special player. I think Quay Walker is who he is. He's played enough football. You know what he's going to be.
When does that happen?
Reading things.
When do you decide he is who he is? How long does the guy have? How long do you have before you can change who you are?
Well, you're never going to be able to become a better player, but he's in his fourth year, correct? Is he in his fourth?
Third.
Okay, so he still has room to grow, but he's played a lot of football. So he can get better and better, and I think he has gotten better, and I don't want to discount the fact that he's in a different system. He's learning this. So I want to give him a little bit of grace and say I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he's not going to be one of these core Packer players. I think if you asked me a month ago, I would have said probably not. But okay, if Jeff Hafley likes him and he is really fitting what they're doing, I could see that it's not a position where you're going to be paying 20-some-odd million dollars a year. Your cap goes up, and if he is a starter that you love, he is a good NFL player. Is he going to be a first-round pick that everybody is looking at like Ray Lewis and Brian Urlacher?
No.
Right now you'd say no. And that's what you're guessing. That's what you're hoping for when you draft somebody that high.
Will he get the fifth-year option, and has that answer for you changed? And the same, I suppose, goes for Devontae Wyatt, who is also a first-round pick from that 22 draft.
I sneezed. I didn't catch your first part. I thought you were – I missed you. So I
didn't catch that.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry, I was looking at the tape delay on the screen in the studio, so I didn't see the sneeze. I see it now, though. I just saw it happen. I'm caught up now on the YouTube stream.
Well, so, Jason, can Quay Walker change? Is Quay Walker going to become a much better player than what he is right now?
No, and that. So the question you missed while you were sneezing, God
bless
you.
And is that good enough? Is that good enough?
I mean, there's plenty of good/okay linebackers in the NFL, right? But that's not what you expect when you expend a first-round pick on a guy. You want him to be an impact, field-tilting player. And that
he
has not been.
Is he getting a fifth-year option?
That's the question that you missed with the sneeze. I think I think maybe he does. I think maybe he does.
What makes you because, say that?
Because
Why?
I think they believe that in Jeff Hafley's scheme, they have seen signs of him becoming a more productive playmaking linebacker, and so they want to continue that process. I mean, they have to decide in May on both those guys. You know, Devontae Wyatt started strong, then had the ankle injury, and then was persona non grata, but he did have a sack on Sunday night. But those both of those guys, I think if you're saying, because remember, that's the Devontae Adams trade, right? That's what that is for the extra draft pick? Or is that the...
Okay.
No, that's the Devontae Adams trade, right? Where they get the extra first rounder.
I thought it was Watson, but yeah, you could be right.
So when you get those two guys in the first round, or maybe whatever it is, you have two first-round picks. We were talking about how they replenish their defense with those picks going into the 22 season. Yeah, because Rodgers was still on the team. Have they given you what you were hoping for when you have two first-round picks on defense? They had two first-round picks in 19 as well, and you got Rashawn Gary and Darnell Savage in the first round. You would like them to be better, just like you would like most of your first-round picks to be better, but you make up for it with other picks. I don't know. I mean, I don't think they've been as good as you wanted them to be. That I think we can agree on. Maybe that changes, but they have until May to make that decision. All right,
yeah,
we need to shift gears.
Devontae Wyatt, I still think he has an opportunity to really springboard, but as we sit here right now,
even though he's in year three also.
He's been dinged up. I like him as a player.
Okay.
It just gets so confusing and tricky at that spot. There's so much more room to grow, but time is ticking, and those decisions have to be made. And there's always more young guys coming up. And I don't think Goody, and this is more of an off-season discussion, I think Goody right. is going to fight tooth and nail to keep this team young and hungry and not give out a ton of big boy second contracts unless it's the guys he knows and has seen play at an incredibly high level and can feel very certain will continue to do that throughout their contract. Zach Tom is going to get one. And then after that, I'm not 100% sure who else is going to.
Watson, Romeo, they're all in that same draft.
I don't think Watson. Is there somebody that they would pay $25 to $30 million a year for right now?
Nope.
I don't know.
Certainly not Romeo after everything that happened. Nope.
All right.
We're going to shift gears. We're going to get ready for the... Catch NBA Emirates Cup Fever, the championship game, live from Las Vegas tonight. So we're going to talk to our Bucks buddy, Justin Garcia. Is it the first time since the opener that we've talked to one of our Bucks people, Jesse?
Yes, it is. Haven't had Bucks Fever until tonight. Cup Final will do that.
Yeah, that's what it'll do. And if you miss it for some reason.
It's not a hot fever, is it? It's kind of a lukewarm fever, I would say. It's not
you're like a 99
not
degrees.
Like you're 100. I think you might barely be over 100. I don't think anybody's at like 102 with this fever.
A fever pitch, if you will. Well, if you didn't catch cup fever, but you still want to know what happened, you can always tune into Bucks in 6. On the Bucks Plus Audio Network. From the biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room afterward, get an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in just 6 minutes. No more, no less. Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the game or you just want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in 6 provides game recaps every morning after. Hear all the high-flying dunks from Giannis or the deep threes from Dame. And catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. Bucks in 6 on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now on bucks.com/plus or on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. Our Bucks buddy, Justin Garcia, joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
The Bucks don't stop here, but Justin Garcia, our Bucks buddy from the Bucks Radio Network, stops in to join us. Justin, good morning.
Good start.
Hi, Justin.
Can you guys hear me?
There you go. Now, see, this is an instance where I don't like the new three-panel look because I don't get a good look at all your shoe collection from this angle, but I'll have to persevere. Do you have NBA Emirates Cup fever, and are you over 102 degrees with it?
It's more of like a head cold than a fever. But I like the event. I think it's been a success. But it would have been interesting had we gotten two different teams in this, and what the feeling would have been if you were walking into the Atlanta Hawks and the Houston Rockets as your final, and the league selling that in prime time as, hey, this is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. So catch us up if you're like the Wildy and Tausch program, and since the opener you haven't been paying all that close of attention. After a rough start to the season, the Bucks have found their mojo, obviously. And I'm curious, as you've watched them, because, look, anybody who listens to you on the various platforms across the Bucks Radio Network, we know how insightful you are. I am not driving to Milwaukee for ballet as frequently, so I miss you on my radio, which used to be a staple of my drive. But they seem to have figured it out when early in the season we were wondering if they would. Has this season played out differently than you expected? And what has changed that now they look more like the team we expected them to be as opposed to the team that they were at the start of the season?
Well, first of all, you're still welcome to call me. You don't just have to rely on the radio show. But
when Dave Kane's in the mix too. So, you know.
Yeah, you need a buffer.
A three-way call. Yeah.
I wasn't really sure what to expect this season because of how last year went, obviously. Mm-hmm. I did believe that all the changes they made in the offseason improved the team. And I think what we're starting to see now, too, is maybe the most important thing. We spent a lot of time talking about Doc Rivers, and he had a chance to, I guess you would say, audit the class last year and get to learn the team. Mm-hmm. And this is really his first year, but he had that head start. So there hasn't been quite as much of a feeling out process, but they also knew who the team was going to be coming into the season and had the chance to structure their roster around that because, you know, last year, and this isn't to pile on Malik Beasley, but Malik Beasley makes a lot more sense on your team if Drew Holiday is playing next to him. You didn't acquire Damian Lillard until a week before the season. So everything that you did throughout the course of the offseason, you thought Drew Holiday was your point guard. Now, this offseason, you had a chance to look and say, okay, what do we need to improve? And what are the types of players that we need to bring in that'll fit with this roster? And you had a chance to do that in the offseason with Torian Prince and what he fits, with Gary Trent Jr., who started to hit mm-hmm. shots. Delon Wright, we haven't seen since Chris Middleton returned, but you've seen what he provides as well. So the roster, the pieces fit and make more sense now. And I think one of the big parts of the beginning of the year, maybe they needed a wake-up call. I think a few guys kind of tiptoed around that. But Doc Rivers and all the players, too, said, look, this stuff happens like this. You don't want it, but you have 6, 8, 10-game stretches like this. The problem is it came in the first 10 games for this team right. Where no one was hitting shots. You were still kind of learning a little bit of a new defense, and we've seen that be the most impactful part of this team. But it came early when all the attention was there versus coming, you know, in early March or mid-February when you're, all right, fine, we've seen enough of the sample size to know what this group is.
JG, is this Giannis's best start to his career when you start looking at the numbers and what he's been able to do?
It's up there, you know, like the last 2 years, when you look at what he's done, I think the big thing is his shot diet and what he's eliminated. He is on pace this year to take the fewest threes in his career. Mm-hmm. And he's really started to find his mid-range shot. For a while, we talked about the conversation of Giannis needs to shoot more threes, and it kind of gravitated towards maybe not. Just find a mid-range shot. We saw him with that Dirk Nowitzki one-legged step back. We've seen him try the push shot, the hook shot. But he really does seem to have found the mid-range jumper, and a lot of that is the work that he's done in the offseason with Drew Hanlon. But Vin Baker has become his guy on the staff as well. And, you know, Jason, as you remember, covering some of those teams, that was Vin Baker's shot from that spot. So I think that's helped him out quite a bit. But, you know, the efficiency that started last year, it started earlier than that, but really jumped off the page last year, that's remained constant. And there's a lot of little things you can point to, like the defense and how much improved, really shockingly, it has been recently. The play of the young guys has been huge for this group. But none of it matters if Giannis isn't playing like an MVP. If Giannis isn't playing like this and you're still getting those things, this team's a 500 team. But with him playing this way, they've been 12-3 in their last 15 games.
So, JG, what's different? Last year, obviously, he gets hurt. And we're all looking around like, can they tread water? Where are they at if Giannis isn't, if he's not the playing at that MVP level, how much can you lean on the rest of this team? Or is this just, as you put it, just going to be a 500 team without Giannis playing at this, I would say, absurd level, because he's playing, I think, the best ball of his career.
Yeah, and I mean, getting Chris Middleton back is huge for the, because the offense has been the issue so far this season. Even in that 2-8 start, it wasn't the defense. And you'd see a lot of people say, well, I can't trust the Bucks because their defense is terrible. And that's how you knew, okay, you're not watching the game. You're just looking at the results here, because the defense has been fine.
Jason,
the offense,
that's what Jason kept saying the whole time on our show.
The offense hasn't been what you expected it to be, an elite group with Giannis and Damian Lillard. Chris being gone was a part of that. But we've seen the chemistry a lot better now this season between those two, where you've seen a lot more of that two-man game. And, you know, the other thing I go back to is the offense is more suited for the playoffs because you have half-court scores in Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton. The Bucks of the past, and even the title year, it wasn't a great offense. It was good in the regular season, but it was really fast break and transition-based of getting Giannis out on the run, and that's how they scored. But those two have really started to show that chemistry so far this season. And Damian Lillard, too, was a guy that I think there's a lot of questions coming into the season of what can you expect from him? What version of him is he going to be? Is this maybe the twilight of his career when you look at the age and the efficiency numbers weren't great last year? He still had some of those games this year where, you know, it's an 8 of 25 shooting line and the efficiency isn't great, but he's still getting 25 to 30 points. I would be much more concerned if the scoring volume wasn't there, if he wasn't still getting to the free throw line, and if he wasn't getting into the paint. And it's not just scoring. The important part there is get to the paint, make the defense react. This team has open shooters, and Damian Lillard is finding them. Because when guys stop going to the rim, that's usually a sign of, yeah, this is the back nine. They don't want to take that contact. They don't have quite as much burst that I think we can open up that conversation of maybe this is the part of the downturn of his career, but that hasn't been the case with how Dame has played this season.
So I'd like to hear that. What? One more for me, Jason, and then I'll let you roll it. Pat Connaughton, Bobby Portis. What's the role moving forward? How do you think these guys are going to fit moving forward with this team?
So Bobby Portis is still important to this team because your bigs are Giannis and Brook Lopez, and they have been incredibly fortunate, save for the last couple of playoffs, that Giannis has been indestructible and that Brook Lopez is defying all odds as a player in approaching his upper 30s, who is not far removed from back surgery, that has been an Ironman. But you're in trouble if something happens there. So that is what makes Bobby Portis really valuable. I do think what we've seen, and where a number of credit needs to go, is number one, the defense has been excellent. But Doc Rivers, with those two guys especially, has found the way to push the right buttons in figuring out what are the minutes for Bobby. What are the minutes for Andre Jackson Jr. too? Are we starting to see things kind of slide a little bit where teams are saying we don't worry about defending him? That's when I can pull him off the floor. And same for Bobby Portis. Pat Connaughton, people may not want to hear it. Pat Connaughton's been very good this season. The big thing is the athleticism isn't there. He's not the same guy that he was years ago, and that's going to be the big challenge with him, what you need him to do with defending guys on the perimeter. But the spots where they played him, he's played very well. And again, when you have Andre Jackson Jr. starting to take on some of that load, A.J. Green doing what he's done, Gary Trent Jr. and the trust that you have on both ends of the floor with him, and Torian Prince, you've added more guys where suddenly this team has depth there, where Pat Connaughton becomes the, okay, if there's injuries or it's a break in case of emergency, we can play him. Whereas last year, you really needed big minutes from Pat Connaughton, and that's not the case this year.
All right, JG, Tausch is going to allow me to ask a couple questions here. I want to circle back to Damian Lillard because obviously we heard him talk after the playoff loss about not being able to work out the way he wanted to last offseason, not feeling, you know, comfortable. We know that there were folks that were focusing on maybe what was going on off the court for him. What has been, has there been a transformation? Has there just been a slight improvement? I mean, 7.5 assists and 25.5 points a game, those look like Damian Lillard type numbers to me. And you talked about the efficiency earlier, but is he more comfortable? Is he a better fit with Doc Rivers? What, how do you view him vis-a-vis what we saw last season?
I think comfort is the place to start. That we've clearly seen a lot of progression between he and Giannis in their two-man games. It was always there last year with Brooke. And, I mean, historically, those are the guys that Dame plays well with. When you think back to his Portland days in the pick-and-rolls with LaMarcus Aldridge, and a player, not in terms of their shot profile, but body size, similar to Brooke Lopez and Yusuf Nurkic, those were the guys that could set screens and free up Damian Lillard the best. And now we've seen, you know, Giannis, I think a couple of things that Tausch pointed to with offense. The other things I'd point out where he has been as good as we've seen him in quite some time. Defense has certainly gone up a notch. Maybe not quite to the level where he won Defensive Player of the Year, but it's been the best defense we've seen Giannis play in two or so years. And screen setting, this is the best we've seen in his career, because I think that was one of the other knocks of, okay, I know we don't want Giannis to just be a decoy, but look at how Brooke Lopez sets screens. Can you give me at least three quarters of that? And we've seen a lot of that, and that frees up a lot for Damian Lillard. There's a lot of trust, too, and Dame spraying the ball around and knowing he's going to get it back and knowing his teammate hit shots. And I think the other two big things are the conditioning, where he pointed to that in the offseason, as you mentioned, Jason. People, I think, scoffed at it and said, well, you really expect me to believe Damian Lillard isn't like on the treadmill or working out in the offseason? But look at the things he did this offseason, where he's working out with David Goggins and doing Navy SEAL-esque training. You're not going to do those types of things, because what happens if I suffer an injury doing that? That's going to punt that trade down the road. Now I'm stuck here in Portland. So he's had a chance to do that. And I think you've seen his conditioning has been much better than it was a year ago, especially as the season went on. He was the first to say this. He felt like he was starting to wear down a little bit. And I know it's still early, but we haven't seen that yet. And, you know, nobody's going to compare Damian Lillard to Drew Holiday defensively, but he has been much more active defensively, especially with his hands. We've seen him diving on the floor for loose balls. There's just been that engagement all the way around. And it's not to say, well, why wasn't it there last year? I think there were so many variables in place, not just for Dame, for this whole team. When you think about three coaches in 12 months, Damian Lillard coming over just as the season's starting, all the finger pointing that we started to hear about going on early in the season, that the longer you got into it, it felt like a lost season. And these guys knew, okay, we got to hit the reset button, but there's no excuses this year. And so far, outside of those first 10 games, they've played that way.
All right. Two more things before we let you go, because I love it when we get to catch up with you, and I think our fans who get a lot of Packers here can use a little Bucks in their life once in a while. One, you mentioned Andre Jackson. You and I on my drives would talk about him and the fact that some coaches don't want to play young guys. Is he just not as young of a guy anymore? Has he made that much advancement that there's more confidence and more reason to put him on the floor, or is it something else?
Maybe a part of, okay, it's year two, that now we can give you a little bit more. But I think it also, look, it started when this team was really struggling. And yeah. I you know, how much of it was injuries in the struggle that really opened the door for Andre this year, and to a lesser extent, A.J. Green, because we saw a lot of minutes from him last year. I don't know. Only Doc Rivers knows the answer to that. But the fact is, that's what we've seen since then. And where I would give Doc Rivers a lot of credit, because, you know, my concern coming into the season with Andre is I recognize the value. It's clearly there. He is far and away your best perimeter defender on this team, but the offense is still very much a work in progress. And if your best lineups include him and Giannis, that could be an issue where teams say, okay, you have two non-shooters that we can just sag off these guys. We can ignore Andre altogether and double team Giannis. And I think a lot of coaches knowing that would have a tendency to say, well, I just can't play this guy. And to Doc Rivers' credit, he hasn't done that. We've seen minutes or games where Andre's only played 6, 7, or 8 minutes. We saw games like over the weekend when he played close to 30 minutes that Doc has done a good job saying, I'm not just going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm going to find the minutes for him. And once it becomes a problem, then we'll make that change and we'll make the adjustment. And the same with AJ Green, too, that, you know, found a spot in this rotation last year. And Doc was pretty blunt and said, look, he had a bad summer. He had a bad training camp. That's why he wasn't really in the rotation the first 3 to 4 games of the season. But he didn't hang his head. We saw him improve things in practice. And again, we didn't have the results we wanted as a team. That opened the door, and he has picked up to playing like he did a year ago.
Okay. All right, last thing, because Tausch, as you well know, is very good at improving things. The NBA Emirates Cup culminates in tonight's championship game in Vegas between the Thunder and the Bucks. Tausch's idea, in addition to what are these guys getting, $515,000 a piece if they win, is
like that, yeah,
to make it, and Tausch, tell me if I'm misquoting you, okay, the winning team of the Emirates Cup wins a first-round draft pick. The first pick outside the lottery. So okay, the organization gets an extra first-round pick by winning this in-season tournament. Tell Tausch that he's a genius or an idiot, and why.
So I've thought about that, too, and I've heard other people discuss it. It is interesting. That is the place where you would have to put it, I would think, would be the first pick outside of the lottery, because if it's, hey, you get an extra pick and it's the last pick of the first round, well, who cares? Why am I really trying for that? You also can't move it up and take away from some of those lesser teams as well. So I'm not willing to totally dismiss it. I think where it would get a little messy is with the collective bargaining agreements and things like the second apron and freezing of draft picks. Like if you're a team that has your draft pick frozen, what does that mean if your pick is automatically kicked to the back of the first round? Do we just ignore this because you won the NBA Cup and now you get a pick that's here, but your other pick is kicked to the end? So I think there'd be some pushback on that. I don't think it's the worst idea.
Okay.
I still think
that's high praise.
The best
from you.
Solution is I would make the game count for the winner. So this game doesn't count. None of the individual statistics, whether the Bucks win or lose, it doesn't count in the standings. No, just the, and that's the other thing I don't know that the league has done a great job of doing, because I saw a lot of and heard from some of our fans too. Maybe the Bucks should just lose because then you get a week off and you get time off and don't have to worry about it for an older team. That's not, every team has 80 games scheduled. So the two games that are missing are either in the tournament in the NBA Cup, or if you don't qualify, you just have two games scheduled on the fly essentially against other teams that didn't qualify. So everybody's on a level playing field here, but this game doesn't count because it would be the 83rd game for the Bucks and the Thunder. What I would do is I would make it count for the winner, not the stats or anything, just the win. So that way, if you win this, you win any tiebreaker in any situation that you're in. Mm-hmm. So if the Bucks win tonight, they finish tied with the Knicks for the third best record in the East. Because they have that extra win, the Bucks are the 3 seed and the Knicks drop down to 4.
I'm always smarter when I talk to you, Justin. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you. Enjoy tonight's game. That doesn't count for
enjoy
anything
Vegas
other than the championship.
All right. See you guys.
That is the great Justin Garcia. You can hear him on the Bucks radio network constantly and across ESPN Wisconsin and 620 WTMJ. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Celebrate, have it up all. We can hardly wait. Happy Christmas, everybody.
Thanks to Justin Garcia. We went really long with him. That's my fault. So, Tausch, tell us about Quick Trip before we run out of the show.
Well, let's talk about Quick Trip. Jason, life is busy, especially this time of year. Quick Trip gets it, whether you're craving fresh coffee. I love their coffee. A tasty bakery treat, which obviously I love as well. Or a quick grab-and-go meal or a snack. Quick Trip is your go-to. Variety, quality, fast service. Quick Trip's team is all about making your day easier and better. From clean restrooms to fresh groceries and everything in between, Quick Trip's got you covered. Don't stress out while you make all your trips during the holiday season to see family. Quick Trip's got the fuel to get you there with ease, plus ATMs and free air for your tires. But those aren't the only perks. Get Nature's Touch chocolate milk, half gallon for $2.49. Kitchen Cravings boneless pork chops, 99 cents each. And summer sausage, 2 for $7.50. Serve it up with a side of Quickery white bread, 99 cents for a 1-pound loaf. And don't forget about that chicken. $5.99 whole chicken on Mondays, 8-piece tenders and specials every Wednesday for $9.99. Download the Quick Rewards app. Take advantage of all the Quick Trip has to offer. They gave away a free bubbler yesterday. They got kind of the same thing going where you get something free. You get different specials. They got all this great stuff on the rewards app. Order ahead, curbside delivery, Quick Trip. We'll see you next time.
Justin Garcia didn't hate your idea about the first round pick, and he said he's heard other people talk about it. Could the Tausch plan be instituted for next year's tournament? We'll have to wait and see. I have a complaint in the YouTube comments.
Great.
We'll check in on it to wrap things up next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Well, this is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. More at grasslandbutter.com.
Before we run out of time, DVD in the YouTube comments. Jesse, I think this is constructive. Please, the faces are too close. Nothing against the guy's looks.
Isn't that saying it's against the guy's looks? Yeah, I thought it was a little way too close today, too. I don't like myself enough to do that, Jesse. So pull back. You do what you want with you. Pull back on old T. I had too much old T.
Jesse, do you like the vertical orientation, though? I like the graphics. I think the graphics look slick.
Graphics look good.
I think there's a lot of promise with what we've got going on here. Yeah. I think we got some adjustments we can make.
Does this mean I have to turn my iPad vertical when I'm in the basement?
That might help. I'm going to have to work with Tausch on how to position himself best for this.
What are you saying?
Well, example A right now on the video stream where he has leaned back.
That's
out
my
of
favorite
frame.
When he leans back and you can no longer see him.
So we're going to have to figure that out. There he is.
Meanwhile, on the radio, people are like, what are these idiots doing now? All right. Well, that is it for us today. We tried something new. We like to venture outside of our comfort zone from time to time, but we will continue to work on the video stream. Thanks to everybody who joins us there that likes to chime in. We appreciate your loyalty to the show there. And whether you're listening on podcast later or streaming live over the internet or you're listening on terrestrial radio, we appreciate you being loyal to our show. That's it for us today.
Go Bucks.
We'll be back tomorrow. Go Bucks. And be sure to be here tomorrow for Brian Bulaga. We're always smarter when he joins us on Wednesdays. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.